What up, y'all? It's your boy Kev on stage, and I want to tell you about Black Married and Debt Free. Okay, they're a couple that paid off $110,000 in debt in 2017, and now they want to educate and inspire millennial couples to do the same. So what I want y'all to do is subscribe to their page. Go on YouTube, go on Instagram, and get the following going at Black Married Debt Free. It's everywhere, all right? So if y'all don't want to be broke no more, you want to be debt free in victory. Then go follow them, Google them, look them up, and see what they're talking about, because don't nobody want to be broke. You feel me?
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
Yes, Shira, I'm so happy to be here with you. And we're so happy that you've chosen this podcast to listen to. I mean, you could have chosen anyone, right? There's thousands out there, but we want to thank you. And we also want to thank everyone who's been leaving us 5-star reviews on our podcast. That's like huge, right? And it helps us to become more visible. It helps our podcast to be relevant in this space. So we thank you very much. And we encourage you, if you haven't already, just leave us a little review, you know, it's going to be beautiful. And if you do that, we're going to bless you with a link to our masterclass for absolutely $0. But once you've left a review, head on over to our email and email us blackmarrieddebtfree@gmail.com and say, hey, I left a review. I did it. So thank you very much. Shira, I'm excited about this one because this one is for you, the listener, right? We reached out on Instagram and YouTube, and we asked for questions, and we got those questions, so we're going to answer them at length. Some of them I answered, you know, really quick, you know, but said listen to the episode, we'll really dig a little further.
Okay, well, I'm excited for this because I don't know any of the questions. So
yes, I always love the questions. So let's go ahead and get right into it, Shira. The first question is from, and some of these I have the name, some I don't, but this is from Alex Laura. Alex Laura asked us, she said, what are, or were, I guess, some major factors, some major sacrifices you all made while trying to pay off debt? What were some major sacrifices you all made while trying to pay off debt? I was really trying to think about this one, Shire.
Yeah,
there was quite a few.
That's a good question, yeah. Because I want to hear your few, Marcus, because, you know, I've said before that you don't have to like suffer your way through paying off debt, right? And that you can still enjoy life. And I think some of that comes from knowing that you're working towards a goal and you're actually making progress on it. And so it just kind of improves your outlook.
Yeah.
Even if your day to day isn't filled with, you know, all the comforts that you would really want.
Yeah, I think for us, it becomes a part of our DNA. Those quote sacrifices become so much a part of you that they don't feel like pain. It doesn't feel like a sacrifice. It just feels like your new mindset. And like, so we didn't purchase a new vehicle during that period of time. We didn't, I think we did end up purchasing a vehicle because you, for like, I forgot why, like car, you know, was no longer operable or something, but we ended up paying cash for it, which was like something we would never have done. But anyway, that was, we didn't take a lot of trips during that time. But we got lost doing the work. And I mentioned that on my IG story yesterday. That's like, sometimes you just do the work and you just put your head down and go, and it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. But I guess if I could pick one though, Shire, we sacrificed our investing.
Yeah, that's
that was the one thing we did.
I don't, you know, I'm trying to think if I regret that or not.
Right.
Because I mean, then we didn't really have the knowledge that we have now, and we're just so focused on the debt that we weren't really thinking about investing. We weren't thinking about retirement. We weren't thinking about, you know, the opportunities that we were missing out on.
Yeah.
Thankfully, you know, we were able to pay off our debt in about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. But if it would have taken like, you know, 5 years or 10 years to pay off that debt, I don't think there's any way that we wouldn't have been able to forego investing. I mean, it's, that's just too much, you know? So yeah, I think that's true. And also I think that we sacrifice some of our, like I was saying before, some of the wants.
Yeah.
So like we didn't really shop for clothes very often, you know, beauty products, you know, things that, you know, I can get now, you know, I wasn't able to get necessarily back then. So
we've never, we're a little bit better about it, but we sacrificed time together, with me working odd shifts and stuff like that. But we've never, we still work odd shifts, ironically, but that's always been something that's like, we had an understanding, like we're going to be sacrificing, you know, because if you work the same shift, you'll see each other in the evenings every week. But for me and Shira, before Shira was working from home, we would see each other in passing. You know? And so that was tough.
Actually, that was a huge sacrifice because Marcus started working the night shift while we were paying off our debt. And that helped us to save on our childcare costs.
So
now that we actually talk it through, I think that there were definitely some big sacrifices that were made, and we're still making some of those sacrifices.
Yes. Yes. So great question, Alex. We really appreciate that. This next question comes from Ivan, my man Ivan, on IG. He says, looking to invest in real estate out of state. Any suggestions as to areas? And to that, I say, you have to, instead of just giving you an area, because the market's changed so quickly, let's give Ivan some things that we look for when we find an area, right?
Yeah.
Because we've researched a few different states and a few different locations.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
And you can quickly become priced out of an area that you could at one point afford.
Yeah. I think the baseline thing you want to do is referred to as the 1% rule. That's when you pick an area, and let's say your average, you're looking to invest in 3-bed, 2-baths, and your average 3-bed, 2-bath in this area goes for, with minimal work needs to be done, goes for $100,000. You want to make sure you're at least able to rent it out for $1,000 a month. That's called the 1% rule, which is just a quick snapshot that you can take to know if this is even a place that I need to dig further on. Because if you don't hit that 1% rule, the home costs $100,000 and you can only rent it out for $500, that's not 1%. And so that's kind of like, not a great place to invest. So that's like a quick thing that we look at.
Right.
Once you do that, what's the job growth like in the city? Or not job growth, but Shire, help me out. What's the employment rate in that city? What is it? Is it adjacent to a major city? Maybe, you know, that might be a plus. What are some other things we look for, Shire? How's the historical weather in that city? Is it a high tornado area? Is it a high hurricane area? If it is, you know.
That's something to consider. I mean, obviously you can always have insurance, but for us, you know, living in California, we're used to good weather and we kind of want where we invest to have some good weather as well.
Yeah.
Also we look at, property taxes. So that is huge because as a homeowner, you're responsible for those property taxes.
Yeah.
If you have a mortgage, those property taxes will be lumped into that monthly mortgage. And if you have high property taxes, then you're going to have a higher mortgage.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider. And also you have to consider your budget, right? Because you're making that initial investment and many times you're putting down a minimum of 20%. So you have to think about where you can actually afford to invest. And so we invest out of state because we can't afford, you know, to invest in California at this particular moment.
Yeah.
And so, and one thing that you're getting at, Marcus, is if you're not able to invest in a major city, looking to the outskirts, right. Look into some of the suburbs that are outside of the main city or a smaller town that people might be commuting to the big city. You yes. know, they might not mind living a little bit outside of a major city.
Yeah. That's big. I think also you want to know within yourself, am I looking for a high equity investment or a high cash flow investment? Because you may find an area where the cash flow may be okay, but like Shire said, you're right next to a major city, and in the next 5 years, this is going to be your home price is going to really balloon. The equity is going to grow fast. Or you may be in an area where it's like home prices are steady historically. There's not a lot much going to change, but man, I'm cash flowing real nice.
Yes, that's a great point, Marcus. Like with our first two investments, it was more of an equity purchase.
Yeah.
Yes, the two houses, they met the criteria. They met the 1% rule that you mentioned, but the equity is like has been incredible. But the equity has been so good that we can no longer afford to invest there. Right. You know, so where we're at now is more of a cash flow. It's that you're buying at a lower price and then you're getting that immediate cash flow. And if you go back a couple of episodes, we actually did interview our real estate agent. Yes. And so, I mean, here it is. You want to know. So just go back, you know, to that episode with
Tisha Perry.
So she was actually our real estate agent for our last three transactions. So I think that's a great point. And then another thing about rent, when you're researching the rent, sometimes we like to look at the fair market, rents. And so that's usually something that Section 8 uses to calculate what a fair price would be for rent. And you can easily look that up online.
Down to the county.
They'll tell you what a 2-bedroom, a 3-bedroom, you know. And so, you know, Section 8 is something to look into as well. Yeah. Our properties are not on Section, you know, they're not Section 8 rentals, but it's something that we definitely want to consider. But that is a good way to gauge what rent prices, what a fair rent price would be in the county that you're looking in.
Yeah.
I mean, also some websites like Zillow, they'll give you like the rent calculator, estimate. So there are a lot of online tools that you can really look at. And it's so important to, as you're preparing to get your first home, to just look at some random houses, you know, in random parts of the country and see if you were to buy that home, would you be able to cash flow?
Yeah.
So you would do that by, you know, what we would like to call like running your numbers.
Yes.
So you would see, you know, if you bought this particular home, how much could you rent it out for?
Yes.
What would the property taxes be? You can easily see that on Zillow. You can see the tax history. You would also look at your insurances, you know, how much would you have to pay for insurances? So we like to go, like before we bought our first home, we used to go through these different mocks where we would find houses. We looked everywhere. We looked in Texas, very high property taxes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Texas, y'all kind of expensive
y'all
for
did.
Us. You know, we looked at Texas, we looked at Michigan.
Yeah.
A little too much snow for me, but
too
looked
much
at
snow.
Michigan.
Water.
Right. The water bills. Oh my goodness. Look at those water bills, because even if you don't pay the water bill and the tenant pays the water bill, that's still an added cost that you want to keep in mind.
Utilities, yeah.
Yeah, utility costs. But we would look in different parts of the country and say, you know, if we were to buy this house, would it be a good investment?
Yeah.
So just go through a couple of practice, you know, scenarios and think about the things that you pay for now. So if you're renting or if you own your own home, what are the expenses that you have? And those same expenses will apply to a rental. So a lot of things to factor. It sounds like a lot. It sounds like it could be overwhelming, but you know, consider your budget. And if you're doing a basic search, if you know your budget is, you know, $110,000, then you can narrow houses down, you know, by a state or by a city, you know, by that target amount, and just see if you could determine if it would be, you know, profitable. Yeah. And if you're still struggling on how to do that, then submit another question through the Q&A.
Right.
And hopefully that helps. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's glad. I'm glad we spent time on that, because that actually a few people asked that question. So hopefully we answer all those questions. And Shai, you know that little shimmer that was in your eye once you really got going on that topic, that little something clicked. I just felt it, you know. We let you guys into a lot of people pay to get some of that information we just blessed y'all with. So with that said, I have to ask you this, because if I don't, our friends, Mon and Christina from Aria's Journey, they're going to get mad at me. But they said, when are we going to see that out-of-state real estate course?
Oh my goodness. That was a question?
Yes, that was a question.
Okay, so we've been working on a course for a while now. And, you know, the title we have to date is My First Deal.
Yeah.
And we just need to release it. So I would say the course is coming. We've learned a lot over these last couple of years.
Yeah.
And we want to share it. And
I mean, just hearing you kind of go, Shire, is like, whoa, that's a lot. That's a lot that
more
people,
too.
Yeah. That's a lot that it took practice. It took you doing it for you to get that information. The average person doesn't just know to look for that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we definitely have value that we can bring inside of some type of course. And like you said, we kind of already have the content ready. We just have to do it, man.
Y'all
let
tuned.
Us know.
Stay tuned.
If y'all want it, we need to hear from y'all. Y'all need to let us know in the comment section, in the review section. Let us know if that's something you'd be interested in. Because you just got a little taste. Shire just gave you just a little taste.
Just a little taste. You know,
so.
I guess that was a little taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know, man, if that's something you guys want. So moving on, Shire, to another question here. Still in real estate. How long have you been in the real estate industry? I thought that sounded really cool.
Ooh, real estate industry.
Like, you know, like I'm really doing something, you know?
Wow.
But it's funny that that question was asked, because March 3rd marked the anniversary of our first house in Montgomery, 1 year anniversary. So then I started going back. I was like, man, how long have we been doing this? Since 2018, Shire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's 4 years.
2018, we bought two houses.
You've been real estate investor for 4 years. That's a long time. Nah, not really. But time flies, man. Think about, what do you think about when you think about that first deal, Shire, when we got it?
Look, when I had my mind set that I wanted to do real estate, like, I don't think anything could stop.
No, go back,
Shire. Stop us.
Go back. Tell them about when you first introduced real estate.
Okay.
And how I almost broke your heart.
Yes. I was learning a lot about real estate. This was during our debt payoff journey. I was learning so much about real estate. And I just kept getting all these ideas about how we could do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I started telling Marcus about it. Marcus, we need to get into real estate. This is what we need to do.
Man, you were really passionate, if I can remember, Shai.
I was. And Marcus told me.
What did I say to you, Shai?
Marcus said, you told me you really didn't want to do it. But if I wanted to do it, you would support me.
Come on, y'all. Now, that's like a good husband. You know what I mean? That's the good husbandly thing to do.
It crushed me, though. I felt so sad
when
you said that to me.
How nice that was, and she still felt sad. Like, I can't win. But but anyway, it grew on me like a fungus, Shire. And that thing got up inside of me. And
now you get on my nerves about
man,
it.
Man, I'm just like, what are we doing? We ain't buying no house yet? Like, when are we going to get the next one? But
I'm like, patience.
Yeah, Shire. So yeah, when you like you going back to that first house, we just did it, man. We just did it. We still had a lot of questions. Wouldn't you agree? Still a lot of unsureties going flying there and meeting. You know, we bought it sight unseen. We're going to the lawyer to sign, and we're just like not knowing what that was going to be like. I mean, up until that point, have we ever flown on a plane together? I don't even know if we had.
No.
It's a lot of firsts, you know? But we did it, and you learn through a lot. You can learn on the sideline, but the rest, you got to get in that game. You got to start playing. You got to get game speed. Man, these guys, when you get on that court, they running a lot faster than they was in practice. You running a lot faster than you was training by yourself, but you would never know until you get in. So, yeah, man, it's been 4 years. 4 years in the real estate industry, I guess.
I don't. Something about real estate is just very fulfilling for me. And it's just a different asset class, right? You can invest in stocks and have stocks in these companies, and half the time you don't even know all the companies you're investing in. And I mean, you see returns, and I mean, that's always nice, but when you own a home, it's like, I can see it, I can touch it.
Yeah.
I can get a check every single month. Like it's just different.
Yeah.
It's different.
It is. All right, Shire. Going down to the next question. That last question was from Zay, by the way. This question, I don't think I wrote the name down, but it says, are there any agents or brokers you recommend in your markets? So we've had Tisha Perry on our podcast.
Yeah. And we also work with another real estate agent,
Ravi Sharma, a good friend of ours
in North Carolina. Yeah. So
he services the whole state of Carolina, and Tisha services Alabama and Georgia.
And Georgia,
I think Alabama, Georgia, maybe Florida, maybe wrong, but yeah. So those are the.
That's who we know. Yeah. Look, we telling y'all who we know. That's who we know.
Our property manager in Carolina also is an incredible real estate agent for Keller Williams. Shirley, I forget Shirley's last name.
Okay, don't start looking up Shirley, because we don't have the last name for you. Yeah, but that's why we're gonna do the course, and we can share
we're gonna
more
come back
there.
Yeah, we got y'all.
We've been really blessed to just meet some really great real estate agents, and that was a journey because, you know, we had to kiss a couple of frogs to find someone who would work with us being out of state investors and to find someone that, you know, worked well with us.
Yes.
You know, and the property managers, when you have a good one, hold on to them, you know, and not all property managers are created this equally, you know. And I think one of the things I would like to explore is using tech to do some property management. Yeah. I think that's something that we'll explore, especially as you get more properties and you see, okay, now the money is really starting to add up, the fees that you're paying for property management.
Yeah, shout out to our friends for our children's children, who we had as guests on a podcast, and they talked about how they manage their own stuff. So
yeah,
that's definitely something to get into at some point.
Yep.
Shire, all right, next question. This is in regards to the HELOC, the home equity line of credit that we did. It says, it should be past tense, but we'll get into that. Are you slowly paying off your HELOC? He says, I have heard HELOCs are better suited for small, quick projects. So, and I touched on this on the Weekly Juice podcast. Shout out to them. But with the home equity line of credit, we got it on our primary residence. We took out a line of credit, which is pretty much your home becomes collateral and you get this fixed sum that you can tap into, take some out, put that back. You know, you're not, you don't automatically start paying on that whole fixed amount. You only pay on the part that you take off. And each disbursement has a 20-year payoff time frame. Instead of a 30-year mortgage,
right? It will depend on the term of your of your HELOC, but the one that we had had that 20-year caveat.
Yeah, and so what we did with it was we purchased our first home outright cash, and then we used money to finance our second one. And our strategy was to pay them off with the cash flow. We were kind of, you know, paying more than the minimum to pay it off faster before, you know, within that 20-year period. But we ended up selling the primary residence
with the HELOC. We sold it.
And so that paid off the HELOC in full. But our strategy, had we not done that, was to pay more and, you know, pay it within that 20-year window.
Yeah. So the blessing there for us was that when we sold that primary residence, it paid off the HELOC, which means we had a house that no longer had a mortgage. And yeah. So, yeah.
It's really cool. And to speak to, you heard HELOCs are better suited for small projects. That you, yeah, many people use a home equity line of credit for many different things. Home additions, you know,
renovation.
So you can use it for whatever. But we wanted to, because you are in essence creating another bill, right? We wanted to use it to buy an income producing asset. That was our strategy.
Right. And yeah. Can I add to that? Mm-hmm. That allowed us to get our first real estate property with no out-of-pocket costs.
Yes.
So we didn't pay. I think we paid for our flight, you know. Yeah. But for the house itself, it all came from the HELOC. Yeah. And so it was like, it felt like we were getting a house for free. I mean, even though we weren't, right. We weren't getting a house for free. But that's how it felt, you know. Yeah. So that was a great way for us to enter into real estate. But now securing a home equity line of credit is a little bit more challenging. Some banks stopped doing them altogether. Mm-hmm. But there are some banks that are still doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to call around and
yeah, Marcus, I was going to tell you, I saw a small town bank saying, you know, come and apply for a home equity line of credit. And it wasn't a major bank. It was like a small community bank. So they're still out there.
Yeah. Like the my friends at the Weekly Juice podcast, they said after hearing us speak on the HELOC, they went and they wanted to do it, you know, on one of their properties. And the only ones that were funded was a small bank in their city.
And it could be a good time to do it, like, because home values have increased so much. So if you're already a homeowner, it could be something that you think about. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just thinking about when I was a little girl, I had a grandma that would always say, never borrow money against your house. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know why she said it, like, because you don't want to lose your primary residence. So you really have to know what's at stake, and you really need to be in a good financial position in order, you know, to go through with a HELOC. But that being said, it's still something that's worth exploring, especially, you know, if you want to get into real estate and you're going to purchase a cash flowing property that will allow you to pay it off.
Absolutely. So moving right along, Shire, we have this question here, which is, it's good, from Eric. It says, do we preach against no consumer debt or no personal debt, or both?
No.
Which one do we preach against?
No what? Personal?
No, personal.
Oh, personal.
Yes. Do we preach against no consumer debt, no personal debt, or both? I think preach is a strong word, right?
Yeah, I think preach is a strong word.
Before you answer, Shire, I think what I want to be careful to do and not do with our podcast and platform is, we share what we do and what we did. If it was a good idea, if it was a bad idea for us, if it worked out, if it didn't work out. But we never want to project and be like, we're advising you to do X and you should do da, 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 da. We just want to make you think, right? And that's all this podcast is really for. So preaching against it, I wouldn't say that. But for us, Shire, now you can go ahead and answer. For us, we don't want any of the debt per se, if you can. But the consumer debt, I don't know. Shire, what do you think? I mean, to me.
Well, consumer debt, I look at consumer debt like credit card debt, a car loan. So those are things that we do try to avoid.
Yeah.
So, for example, we talk about buying a car earlier this year. So there was a period of time where we didn't buy a car because we didn't have the money, you know. So we saved up money, and I did have a talk with Marcus to see.
Oh, we had a conversation.
We had a conversation. I remember that. Okay, what if we got a card note? And he was like, no. And I think that we had the wealth educator on our podcast. Mm-hmm. And I was like, after talking with him and his wife, I was like, no, we're definitely not going to go and get no car loan. Right. So for consumer debt, we try to stay away from that. And because our name, you know, is Black Mary Debt Free, sometimes when we talk about our rental property, sometimes people become a little unhinged. Mm-hmm. Because they say, you say you're debt free, but you have debt on your rental properties. And that, I mean, I get it, yeah. You know, but I look at that as this is our business, and right. that's debt associated with our business.
Right.
But we don't have, credit cards.
Yes.
Now, one time, look at me, I'm telling deep dark secrets.
Come on, Shia, tell them.
One time when we needed to get appliances for one of our rental properties, and it was like, if you get a credit card, you save 20%. So I said, shoot, I might leave this money on the table.
Yeah.
So I signed up for a credit card. Got 20% off, and then when I got the bill, I paid it off in full.
Yeah, I mean, you had the cash to pay it for it that day.
Yeah, I could have paid it, you know, and I could have felt good, like, see, I'm Black married and debt free, and I'm going to not save this money, but it's like, I need to be practical.
Yes.
So, you know, I paid it off, but what we built over time was discipline.
There you go.
And some people don't have discipline, yep. So they need those hard, fast rules, you know, you don't have... I mean, discipline when it comes to finance, that's a muscle. Like, if you don't have a lot of discipline around money, don't even feel bad about that, because it takes time to build that discipline.
Yes.
But when it comes to some purchases, it's just like, I have the discipline enough to make this one decision, mm-hmm. okay, save 20% and just pay the whole thing off,
yeah.
you know, and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we definitely try to keep our consumer debt down, because when we do that, it allows us to have more money for investing. You know, so
absolutely.
But at the end of the day, to each his own, you know, sometimes people will use credit in order to build their credit score. And for some people, depending on what's going on in your life, sometimes that's really important.
Yeah.
You know, and so... So it's definitely no judgment, but
right.
for us, we try to not have any consumer debt.
Yeah.
Try
not to have no personal debt too.
Or personal debt.
Personal debt is more student loan.
Okay.
You know, things like that, I think, kind of fall under personal debt. So we paid off our student loans, and you know, we don't paid off Shire's BA. Her bachelor's and
BS. Come on now.
BS, excuse me. And then when she went to get her master's, we were in a position to cash flow that. So, and then our kids will be cash flowed or paid.
We're going to do something for them.
They're not
okay.
Taking out no loan.
Unless they do it behind our backs. But anyway, we're just not there yet.
Yeah. So that's where we are. Preach, I wouldn't say that, but we definitely, hopefully we can
that's
be an example.
That's our message.
Yeah.
That's,
our message.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right, Shire, moving right along here. Almost done here. Actually, I think this is the last one. You know what? We touched on that. They said, what decisions did you make prior to getting out your home equity line of credit? I think we kind of touched on it.
What decisions did we make? Okay. The first decision that we made was we paid off all of our debt. And at the time, that included the house that we lived in. We had like a condo. So when we had a home equity line of credit, we were completely mortgage free. So I don't know if we had mentioned that before. So it's not like we had a mortgage and then we had a home equity line of credit.
That was good,
Shire. On
top
of the mortgage.
That was good because it helped us keep things neat. You know what I mean? If you got this mortgage,
mm-hmm.
that's still something. You get a line of credit, you just pretty much create a mortgage number two.
Mortgage.
And
yeah.
then you're going to go use that to buy a house. That's three mortgages.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so we just so happened to be in that position because we had bought the condo when the market kind of crashed. And so we paid off that home. And so before we got a home equity line of credit, we made the decision to be completely debt free. Now, I don't know if that's feasible in this climate and where we are today, in society. So like I was saying before, be very thoughtful mm-hmm. if you want to, you know, move forward with the home equity line of credit. But the good thing about the home equity line of credit is you can have it and not use it.
Yes.
You know, so it's not a, what they call it, Marcus, a home equity loan.
It's not like
what's it called?
Cash out refi.
Yes. It's not like a cash out thing where you get the money up front and then you got to start paying it back right away.
Right.
Like you can have that home equity line of credit a lot of times and kind of sit on it for a while right. before you use it. So that way, you know, you spend it when you're ready and when you know that you're going to use it for the best investment possible.
Right. Yeah.
So that was definitely one decision that we made. That's a really great question.
Yeah, really good question.
And then also we made sure that we knew how we were going to use the home equity line of credit. We knew the purpose for which we were getting it. And we had, you know, the skills to make a good informed decision.
Right.
Obviously, it's a risk. It's a little bit of a risk if you're buying a house sight unseen, but we took necessary steps to make sure it was a good investment, you know, getting a property inspection, working with a good realtor, and, you know, just things like that. But yeah. I think that's a really great question because a lot of people might be thinking about home equity line of credits, especially if you own a house and you got a lot of equity in it.
Yeah. Shire, I mean, this has been great, man. And one thing I see is you ready to do this course, Shire.
Oh, my goodness.
I ain't heard you really go like this. You know what I'm saying? Shire be kind of quiet over here on this podcast some weeks, y'all. But she going today.
Well, these are good questions.
Great questions.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so glad that folks wrote us their questions.
Yeah. We appreciate it, y'all. And we really value you all coming to sit down with us every week. The thing about podcasts, I was telling Shire, is like, podcasts become a part of your routine, you know what I mean? And so I know how important it is when you're the host of your favorite podcast, they're not there this week, or you got to fill in, or, you know, they don't even put one out. It's just like, it hurts. Mm-hmm. So we're going to keep bringing value as you guys, you know, show that, hey, we really enjoying what you and Shire are doing. So we're going to reciprocate this relationship by providing you with these podcasts. So hopefully you got a lot out of this one, and there's more to come. So,
yes.
All right. Well, till next time, this is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shire.
We're going to holler at y'all later. Peace.
Bye.